with Total Information AM with Tom Ackerman. I'm Megan Lynch. Recent reports reveal the average age for hip and knee replacements may be trending younger. For example, more than a quarter of hip replacements go to adults younger than 55. That number is expected to grow over the next decade. We wanted to check on what local orthopedists are seeing in studio. Dr. Ilya Bendich, a knee and hip surgeon with WashU Orthopedics, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to chat with you guys.
Are you seeing this trend?
I see patients of all ages. So I see patients as young as in their 20s to as old as, 100. I think my own practice, I am seeing a kind of a trend towards younger, but I don't know if that's broad reaching. And I do think that's probably multifactorial. I think patients are seeking out, help when pain starts. And they're seeing kind of what options are around. And then we also have better ways to do joint replacement, which I think is making surgeons more willing to operate on folks who are younger.
I know everybody's different, but how do you determine when someone needs a joint replacement?
That's individual. But I think it starts with, you see them in the office, we get an x-ray. So a standing x-ray to see what that joint is doing. Is the joint space collapsing? How much cartilage do they have left? Do they have a different disease that's not osteoarthritis, meaning loss of cartilage or wear and tear problem? Is there a disease that we can help them with? That's one. Two is their history. So what have they tried and where is their pain? Is the pain actually from that joint or is it from somewhere else? So one of the great, mimickers of hip or knee pain is can actually originate from the back. The spine can radiate pain to the hip or the knee, and it can present just like arthritis may. So it's important to kind of figure out that history. Is their pain coming from a joint or is it coming from their back necessarily? And then the key to me is to find out what have they done and how much is this bothering them? If they have really bad arthritis, for example, again, it's degeneration of that joint, but they haven't tried anything conservative, we always start there. So that includes physical therapy. It includes medications, oftentimes injections as well. And that can provide patients with pretty great relief. But if those things don't work and they're miserable, they're not able to do the things that they enjoy, then I think a lot of us are talking about joint replacement now. Whereas maybe a decade or two ago, we would say, wait until you're older. These don't have a good lifespan. Just kind of continue on as is. But I think a lot of surgeons now are really kind of thinking more about that quality of life and letting patients enjoy their youth more than we were thinking about kind of longevity of the implants before.
Let's talk about that longevity. So, for example, if someone in their 50s does get a hip or a knee replacement, how long will that last now, maybe compared to a couple decades ago?
I'm starting to quote 30 years, but that's based on some data actually out of WashU where we looked at wear patterns specifically for young folks having hip replacements. The part that usually wears out is the plastic between kind of the new head ball and the socket piece. We're seeing with a new generation of plastic, just very, very low wear rates of the plastic beyond 15 years. And so it's kind of projected that this may last 30 or more years. But the data, the data is not there for that yet, but that's kind of what we're seeing.
How much do sports play a factor in this? And maybe not. Is there a difference between where you take a physical beating in a sport or repetitive motion sports like golf, baseball, tennis, those kind of things? Does that vary?
I think it's hard to know. So there's no doubt that an injury in sports really matters. So there's something called post-traumatic arthritis. Let's say you've torn your ACL, you had a fracture, things like that do affect the cartilage surface down the road and can predispose patients to developing arthritis earlier. But sports, without a doubt, leads people to live healthier lifestyles, keep a lower weight. So that for sure mitigates arthritis risk.
Are there challenges getting some of these procedures covered by insurance for younger patients? Do you have to go through more steps to prove that this is really what is needed?
We've had issues with insurance across the board, not just for younger patients. There are more loopholes to jump through. And, we'll have folks who are miserable with just degenerated joints who have tried everything, and insurance will say they haven't tried it for long enough. And we, as physicians, have to, do something called a peer-to-peer where we call the insurance companies and try to prove to them that this is a worthwhile procedure. We're seeing it across the board, not just for young folks. But we've had plenty of young folks have surgery that's been approved by insurance. Just a matter of have they tried everything, and do they have disease that warrants it?
When it comes to joint replacement, how long is the procedure, and has the technology gotten to the point where it's as easy as ever?
The procedure from when we make skin incision to when we're starting to close this, I would say is pretty variable between surgeons and also depending on kind of the patient type, maybe their body habitus or the type of deformity they have. But I would say on average lasts about an hour. The total time in the OR is longer because we have to position patients and close the wound, but the actual surgical time is probably an hour. The latter part of your question, I think, is really kind of where things have really progressed. So my practice is all technology-based. So I use either computer navigation or robotics in every hip or knee replacement that I do. And I think that is a game changer, specifically on the hip side in my practice. One of the more common complications that we were seeing, you know, a decade or more ago was dislocation after surgery, meaning the ball pops out of the socket. It was one of the more common failure mechanisms. With robotics, we are seeing, that risk is going down tremendously. And this is a newer technology. So the data is starting to come out, but I think we're going to see more in the future.
How many replacements do you do a week?
I do about 15 a week. And last year I did just over 600.
Wow. I mean, if they're an hour, you know, that's really something. Anything else that we've missed on this that you'd like to educate people on before we go?
I think the key is that, you know, orthopedics is really progressing in both our implants and how we do the replacements themselves. So on the knee side, we're starting to see more cementless technology, which in theory provides better fixation for a longer lasting joint replacement. And at WashU, we're really kind of, I would say, pioneers in this. We've published a lot on it. We're really kind of pushing the field on it. The thought is that with what's traditionally used as cement, that may break down over time, but cementless technology really gives us a chance that once the bone grows in to these implants, it can last potentially forever. So I think that's one thing. The other, we talked about the technology piece, is it's not just the implants, it's how do we put these implants in. We used to do this manually with jigs, and as you can imagine, there's a lot of error in our eyes using manual instrumentation. So technology is really giving us a better way to do this, and I think the combination of those two, better implants and a better way to do the joint replacement, is why we're starting to kind of push the envelope on doing these for younger folks.
Doctor, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for the opportunity. It was great chatting with you.
That is Dr. Ilya Bendich, knee and hip surgeon at WashU Orthopedics.